Yurko.
Hello there.
Weekdays, noon to 2, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a good day. Get outside, get some fresh air when you can, but socially distance. We got good weather coming our way, too, it looks like, this weekend. Tracy Butler, 7-day, looks pretty decent, actually.
I'm going to go bang the little white ball around this weekend, Carm.
Right, I'm glad you said the little white ball. Sounds good.
You, funny man. You.
Yes, yes. If you want to talk Bears, 312-332-3776. We just played you Brian Urlacher with Waddle and Sylvia. Short snippet of that. The whole thing is up on the podcast section of the great ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you have that. You'll find all of our podcasts for all the shows. You can hear Paul Konerko on our show yesterday. If you missed it, he was great. Jeff Blum will join us at 1:30 to talk about his great moment back in 05. We start the Cubs bracket on Monday. It's the final day for voting for the White Sox bracket, number one versus number three in the championship match, I guess you could say. This is the greatest moments of the 05 White Sox playoff run. So vote on my timeline on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco. Is it PK Slam or is it AJ getting a first in game two of the ALCS to keep the inning and the rally alive? Yurko's going to have his matchups all set for Monday. We'll start
that's
the Cubs
right.
16 run then. So that's why Jeff Blum's going to join us at 1:30. So you heard Urlacher talk about Nick Foles and the money they're paying him, and I think he's right. I mean, all signs do point to Nick Foles being the starter when you trade a fourth-round pick. You don't have a lot of picks as it is. You're paying him $21 million. We know the offense did not get better, but was actually worse from 2018 to 2019 under Mitch Trubisky, unfortunately. Maybe not all his fault, but the quarterback's a big part of this. And then you heard Brian talk about adding Robert Quinn, and he said he likes the player. He's just surprised that they're paying that kind of money, considering what they already have tied up on that defense. You know, you've got a lot of money going to Khalil Mack. You've got a lot of money going to Akeem Hicks. Eddie Jackson just got a new deal. Maybe
Fuller's making big money.
Fuller's making good money. You're right. Maybe, Yurk, and I'm not, this might not be a direct apples-to-apples comparison. I'm sorry, but there's an old adage in baseball, you know, teams that lose an arm at the trade deadline, they go out and they try to get a bat. You know, you're not going to replace the arm. You try to compensate by scoring more. You know, maybe part of the plan was, we still know what we do best, and really the thing that's got us in a championship window is our defense. So if we can make it even better with Robert Quinn, someone who can truly complement Mack and Hicks, let's make it better. And Yurk and I were talking about a few stats earlier in the week that are positive about this signing. The last 2 years, no player in football has had a better pass rush win rate. That's an NFL next-gen stat. Than Robert Quinn. And nobody else is even really close. Robert Quinn's win rate is nearly 33%. The second best in the NFL over that span is TJ Watt, not JJ, but brother TJ, at 26.6%. Then Clowney, 26.5%, Aaron Donald, 26.3%, and Myles Garrett, 25.2%. So you see these much smaller gaps between the players, and then there's like this outlier. Now, maybe that's a problem, because he's been so much better, but I choose to think that there's still some good pass rush left in Robert Quinn.
Yeah, and the draft equity, I think, is going to be spent on offense. That's why I keep thinking it'll be spent on offense. And, you know, I could be 100% wrong, but if you're going to invest that much defensively, then you've got to, and I do believe that you have to go at least with one receiver with those first two picks in the second round. You've got to bring something else to the table.
Another skill position here?
Another skill position. Anthony Miller. Listen, I liked Anthony Miller. I liked him when he played. I liked him when he was healthy. He looked like he was dangerous. His shoulder went out again, and they had another surgical procedure in the offseason. Okay? That's not good. The odds are that shoulder is going to pop out again. The odds are. And this time it was a hit. He got hit in the back of the shoulder. Boom. Lacanoch. Good night. And there it was.
Does the surgery doesn't sort of like prevent a recurrence of that?
It's the second surgery now, Carmen.
Yeah, I know. That's true. So
how much? And that's the same. And how much stuff's getting done?
And that's the same shoulder, right?
Yeah, the left one. Yeah. So, you know, is it problematic? Yes. Yes, it's problematic. That's why I think at least one of those is going to go toward an offensive player. And listen, you divvy up your assets the way you divvy up your assets. That's why Prince is gone. They said Lakanoc to Prince. That's why Kwiatkowski, when he got the deal he got, they said, well, we can't match that deal. You've got to say goodbye to him. They bought Trevathan back, or brought Trevathan back on whatever contract they brought him on. He's probably not making the same amount of money he was when he signed here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way Roquan is still working on that rookie deal. So, you know, he's not priced either. So you've spent money elsewhere. You know, there's another reason why they might be looking at a defensive player, because Goldman, the guy in the middle, you know, he's not a four-down or a three-down player usually. He only probably ends up playing about 50% of the plays over the course of the season. So is that a guy that you're going to have to find somebody cheaper for, or a cheaper replacement? You might be willing to go ahead and do that to get your team to be less expensive. You know, there's ways, and there's the second safety behind Eddie Jackson. They don't want to dedicate a lot of money to that safety position,
right, and that, yeah,
once they've got Eddie Jackson.
That's right.
So that's what they're looking at.
And so Deion Bush was brought back on that, I think, just that one-year deal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got areas where you're spending money, then you've got to not spend in certain other areas.
Right.
And that's what they're going about the business of doing, not spending in certain areas. And then, like I said, when you look at this roster at the end of it, and you look at 53 – and you go from the bottom up and take a look at how many guys you're playing on NFL minimum contracts. It's about 25 guys.
It's usually about half your roster.
It's either first or second year are playing on minimums, because that's what you can afford to do when you pay some of the better players.
You know, the Bears defense was number one in 2018 in defensive DVOA. It did drop, but was still in the top 10. It was actually eighth last year. This is a defense that is good enough to get you to the playoffs. We know that. They were 8-8 with a horrific offense. So I still have high hopes for this defense. And, yeah, is it going to have to carry the day most weeks? It might. But all we're asking for is for this offense to score 24 points a game.
It's not, that's not
the
asking
that's
for
the magic
huge
number. It's not. It's not a big ask.
Yeah, because of where you're at, you know, where you're scoring at right now, 17.5, is not nearly good enough.
Right.
So if you could kick that up, one touchdown, one visit to the red zone that doesn't result in a field goal attempt. That's what we're asking for.
So the NFL plans on holding the draft, obviously, in a few weeks here. The NFL believes by September it will be able to start its season. We're all hopeful of that. This was Adam Schefter last night with Scott Van Pelt. Everybody wants football back, but
we all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football, but OTAs, that's no not job happening. Yeah. The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil Franklin. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
Yurko and I have had the same stance and opinion on this, I think, ever since free agency started, and some people were critical. The NFL and all these teams are practicing what the government is telling us to practice right now. These facilities are closed. Sean Payton was just talking about how they've started their draft preparation, or at least they're continuing it and kicking it into high gear via conferences. That's what they're doing. They're not together. They're not in a room at the Saints facility. The Saints facility is closed. The Chicago Bears facility is closed and will remain closed for the foreseeable future. Free agency started because for the NFL, they are the fortunate ones, if there is such a thing in this awful circumstance.
No,
that we're
no,
all in.
No, no. There can be fortunate. The fortunate timing of it.
Right,
it's
because
the
they're not in their season.
Of their season.
Exactly.
Yes.
They can conduct their business remotely. And, you know, they've basically called off the draft in Vegas. This is going to be done in a very different way. This is not a made-for-TV event. There will not be crowds. There will not be players. Teams will pick up the phone and call in their pick. I think it's okay that the league is doing all this because they are hopeful that by September we're back to normal and that they start their season. And that would be more in jeopardy, I think, if they decided to wait or if they started pushing things back. They have the luxury. They're the only entity maybe right now that has the luxury to at least conduct its business. It does not mean that there's a lack of perspective. It means they're conducting their business because they can right now.
One of the most important things one can do, we're doing it at ESPN Radio 1000. Those restaurants that have decided to stay open and just do takeout are doing it. You keep on keeping on. It's the only thing you can do. I'm not a medical professional. I've been advised to shelter in place, which is what I'm doing, which is what a lot of people are doing. Okay, that's the advice I've been given. That's what I do. But I've got a way of broadcasting from the house. So that's what I'm doing. I'm broadcasting from the house. The most important, the greatest strength that the American people have is perseverance. The ability to persevere no matter what, when, where, why, and how happens to us as a country and as a people. We've got a tremendous will to persevere. Okay, what the NFL is doing, they've acknowledged, yeah, these are hectic times. These are times that we've never seen. But what they're doing is they're keep on keeping on. Okay, and they've canceled everything except for the selection process of these individuals. Now, I'll tell you this. People go, well, don't you feel sorry for the athletes because the athletes aren't going to be able to walk on that big stage? Yeah. Oh, the athletes aren't going to be able to come up in there. I've got some sympathy for those individuals. Do you know how many proms are being canceled?
Sure. All of them.
Probably. Do you know how many festivities are being canceled for everybody? Everybody's sacrificing in this situation.
Kids graduating, right?
Do you think these players whose dreams, and their dreams aren't to walk across that stupid stage, their dreams are to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Remember, and stay focused on what the actual dream is. The dream isn't to be in Vegas and hop on a little trolley boat and go out to the stage and get their name announced.
I mean, that's fun, but it's not the dream, right?
The dream is to play in the NFL.
Right, to play on Sunday.
So I would ask Adam Schefter to somehow stay focused on that. And the carnage isn't in the streets. The carnage is in the medical facilities around this country.
Yeah.
And the makeshift medical facilities that are being made. Why? Because the medical community is keeping on. They keep on keeping on because that's what the American people do. We persevere through the crappiest of all situations to make things happen.
Yeah, there you go.
And the NFL is keeping its timeline because they have the luxury to be able to do it, but they have canceled everything around the draft except for the selection of the names that will be distributed throughout the NFL's teams, the 32 NFL teams. So please, please, don't try to play that game with the good kid because the good kid's going to crush you.
Fix his line again while he's at it. That was a good rant. But something's happening. That's the second time it's happened with Yurko's line. We're going to have him reset it and get it back to normal. This is what we're dealing with right now. It's all right. You know, a little technological issue, but we'll get it all cleaned up and taken care of. So I'll take a quick break now. We'll come back. We'll take some calls. Yurko will be back. 312-332-3776. Bears thoughts on this defense getting better with Robert Quinn, and is it going to have to carry the day again? Thoughts on Nick Foles potentially being the starter. I don't even know why we're saying potentially. To me, it screams that he's got to be at this point, considering the player they selected, what they gave up to acquire him, what they're paying him for 2020, but that is finally official, you know. It was not the case until yesterday, but he signed the new deal that he restructured and had his little video message to the Bears. So we'll come back and grab some Bears calls. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Our listeners have kicked it into high gear on Twitter, Yurk. I got to thank them for that. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get anybody to call in. We've got the biggest name drop contest going on.
You.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I've actually dated a player once, but he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names three at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
I mean, these are just a few on Twitter that our listeners are trying to get for us. Because this is how Hank Azaria called in yesterday. Sophie said, he said, well, who's the friend that told you to call? He said, what friends? He goes, some guy on Twitter said, call the station in Chicago. He's like, so this is what my career's come to. I'm calling you guys. Hank Azaria is so funny, and he did a lot of Brock Meyer. Yeah, he was great.
Hank is great.
These are just a few. I was going through my timeline. We've had people on Twitter reach out to Alyssa Milano, Taylor Swift, Common, Connor McDavid, Dennis Rodman, President Obama, DK Metcalf, Mark Cuban, Joe Rogan, Patrick Mahomes, D.B. Sweeney, who's a local guy, and let's see. I mean, like, that's just to name a few. But nobody's called yet. Although we were the leaders in the clubhouse now because we had Honest Abe.
Well, that's right. We're
about an hour
one.
Ago. Yes. That was just wonderful. There.
Abe Lincoln called from heaven.
Yes, Abraham Lincoln.
It does not get better than that.
No,
I promise you.
Truly, it was an honor, really, to talk to the former president of the United States. So. Let's grab a few calls. Your line sounds perfect, Ian Yurko. I don't know what that little glitch has been a couple times today.
I don't know.
Hey, it's all good.
Ted told me to check the Wi-Fi. I said, the Wi-Fi's up and running. I got full dots, full lines.
Full lines, full bars.
Full bars.
We're good to go.
Lit circles, I guess, is what I would call it.
John's in Rolling Meadows. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. I hope you're staying well and thinking positive about the sports scene, because right now, everything is really up for grabs. I've never seen anything like this.
No, nobody has. This is the worst global pandemic since the Spanish flu, right? 100 years
yeah.
ago. I mean, isn't it? I know
yeah.
none of us have ever seen anything like this. Let's hope we don't see it again.
I think the Bears with their first pick, which is in the second round, unfortunately, they have to look, I think, at wide receiver and, maybe a quarterback,
I don't think it's
drafted
crazy.
A quarterback. And with their second pick, they got to go with, whether it's a safety or a guard or a tackle, with the best person on the board that can help them the most, I guess, with that second pick. But, yeah, I think they got to look at that quarterback situation now, too.
I don't think it's crazy, John. Yurko and I are on record as saying that. I'm serious. I know they need things. I know they need weapons. I know they need this and they need that. This is still a franchise searching for a long-term answer at the most important position on the field. I don't think it's crazy that they think quarterback with one of those two picks. I'm serious.
I'd be smiling. I'd be smiling if that's the direction they went. They went quarterback receiver. At those two positions, I would sit back and I would just clap my hands.
Yeah.
Now, the quarterback may not work out.
Just hope that they got the right one finally.
Yeah, yeah. You hope they get the right one. It depends who's available. Day one of this draft is going to be interesting. Day one of this draft to see who ends up going off. Are four taken? Are three taken? Do they wait? Does somebody trade into the end of the first round to get a quarterback that they might want?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. I can't wait for this draft, unlike Adam Schefter. I'm excited about this draft, and I can't wait for it to get started to see what the Bears actually do.
Lewis is in Morton Grove. What's up, Lewis?
What's going on, Carmen Yurk? Man, I need sports in my life. The only entertainment I have is talking about the future and what could happen with the sports. But anyways, we got to think positive. At least we do have news to talk about and take some time out of this craziness that we're dealing with right now. But my question for you guys is, obviously, we know that in the quarterback position is not that great. We, got Nick Foles. Yes, that's a plus, but not a great thing. How good does the Chicago Bears this coming up season have to be in order for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's job to be safe? And I'll hang up and listen, and you guys
continue. Thanks, right. Lewis. Be well. It's only year three for Nagy. I guess year three in this league these days. They missed the playoffs again. I think there's going to be uneasy times up there, Yurk.
Yeah, there's going to be concerns. There are problems. This now is Nagy's guy he's bringing in. Nagy has brought this guy
right.
in.
This is Foles is his guy.
You've got a top-flight defense. And then now maybe Ryan Pace has given a little bit and said, okay, maybe Trubisky isn't the answer. He hasn't necessarily clicked. Let's bring your guy in. And now I think they both are fully invested. They're pot committed at this point, Carm.
Yeah.
So either they're going to win and make the playoffs or they're going to lose. And what happens when you're pot committed and you lose the hand? You're out of the tournament.
You're out.
You're hasta la bye-bye. Or your shorts.
When you're all in and you lose.
Yeah, that's no good.
You're out.
Yeah. Even if you got a couple of chips sitting there, they say chip in a chair. But in the NFL, chip in a chair means you're hasta la bye-bye. So it has to work. We have to make this happen. This has to result in a playoff this year. Pressure's going to be on. Pressure's a constant. It's there. So don't worry about the pressure. Just get things done.
The amount of pressure that's on this franchise right now because of the acquisition of Mac and – again, Mac has held up his end of the bargain. I mean, he is a truly great, impactful defensive player. But we've said it before. We'll continue to say it. History tells us that the team that trades the two first rounders never wins the trade. I mean, it just go look at the history of these trades in the NFL. First of all, there aren't even that many of them. But the team trading multiple first rounders doesn't win. And there's a lot of pressure on them to try to do the most that you can while you've got Khalil Mack in his
and
prime.
And you'll tell me that Jalen Ramsey, the Rams, will lose that trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's what history tells us anyway. Remember, we looked at the history of it. It's not pretty.
The biggest one I always remember is obviously the Herschel Walker trade.
Of course, that one.
Great for Dallas, not so much for Minnesota.
Right. Didn't Jerry Jones trade two for Roy Williams? Wasn't that one of them on the list?
Yeah, that's when I was trying to trade Hester.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah.
It's not, and I can go back and get the full list.
And it's not like Detroit did something with that. Wasn't it Detroit that traded it to him?
That sounds right.
Roy Williams came from Detroit, went to Dallas.
And then Roy Williams came here for a little bit, remember?
Special time, Roy Williams.
I got a different word for it. David's in Downers on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
How you doing?
Good.
You frequent my butcher shop occasionally in Western Springs.
Yes. When you say yours, you own Casey's?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But I worked there for 25 years.
Oh, yeah, I love Casey's. They're great. Those guys in there are great.
Anyway, I just wanted to talk about the medical first responders. They're the most important thing in this whole thing.
Yeah.
I have a few nurse friends. And, like, second, I see more customers a day lately than I've seen since Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the most important thing to just recognize how important, like, the essential workers are.
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt, David, and especially the people that are truly on the front lines of this one in the hospitals, in nursing homes, things like that. There's no doubt about it. Hats off to them. We have a tendency to take a lot of things for granted in our daily lives, York. Let's face it.
Of course we do.
We just do. That's
because the system in America usually runs on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take it for granted until it stops, and then you see what the effect of it is.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, because you stop this is stopped, that stopped, that's going to stop, that stops. It's all interrelated, and it's all connected at some point.
Yeah.
We're all dependent upon each other to get this machine working.
Yeah, doctors.
And when the machine artificially stops because of some pandemic, then you see how important we all are to each other.
Yeah, I agree. Doctors and nurses and everything right now, I mean, hats off to you. Everybody that's truly on the front lines of all this, God bless you, honestly, to try to get us through all this. Adam's in Portage Park. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thank you for picking up my phone call. I'm just enjoying my birthday today, listening to you guys.
Happy birthday.
Having the day off. Thank you. I work at Loyola Hospital, so shout out to everybody there and all the other hospitals, man. You guys are great. Let me jump right in and let you know what I think about the Bears and what's going to happen. Nick Foles will be our week one starter,
mm-hmm.
but he'll be good for about 3 out of the 5 weeks. And then he's going to get injured or something's going to happen. Trubisky's going to come in and just ball out. Watch. Mm. Playoff bound. But it's going to be the same routine like every other year for Chicago. It's going to be like, okay, we got hope. Oh, man. And then this happens, and then that happens, and then we got another quarterback. It's like, enough of this. Let's get somebody solid. Let's do it. Let's rock it.
All right, Adam,
I just want to hear what you guys think. And thanks again, Loyola. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to everybody at Loyola. Happy birthday to Adam. Trubisky coming in and balling. All right, I'll take it. I'll believe it when I see it, though.
Yeah, we'll see it.
Yeah.
Hey, the chance and the opportunity is going to be there for him to go ahead and ball. It'll be there.
Yeah.
They'll have an opportunity to do that. The great thing about competition, it usually brings the best out of everyone. So let the best come out.
312-332-3776. You know who else's birthday would have been today, York? I tweeted a picture
Norm Bandler.
Earlier today. Yeah, man. My man Norm. Stormin' Norman would have been 73 today. Norm passed. It's been 11 years already, if you can believe it. But, yeah, happy birthday to Norm. Miss him all the time.
Happy birthday, Stormin' Norman.
You better believe it. Jeff.
You know, my guy Digger's birthday is today.
Happy birthday, Digger.
Yeah.
Nice.
Boy, he's 31 today. The big 3-1, you believe it?
The big 3-1 for the Digger. All right.
And, he works for the funeral home, so his times are busy and hectic. They can't let the more than 10 people into the funeral home at one time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Man.
So he's like the bouncer outside. He's got the clicker in his hand. One guy walks out, one person can walk in.
Jeez, it's crazy,
the way it works.
Crazy times. Jeff on Twitter says, guys, I have tried The Rock, Rex Chapman, Scottie Pippen, Jerry Seinfeld, Lady Gaga, Kevin Hart, Mark Hamill, Pearl Jam, I don't know if he means Eddie Vedder or the whole band, Mark Cuban, and Leo DiCaprio. So he's
Leonardo.
Working hard trying to get somebody to call in.
Leo, the Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf
Boy,
Wall Street.
I tell
you. You know, yesterday, there was a funny thing that happened. I think I got a quick minute for this story, maybe. And Jeff Blum's going to join us coming up. But yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago, Merck came
It was yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Merck came to me in the morning, Yerk, and Randy Merkin, who, you know, Randy's booked a lot of big-name guests. He tells great stories about his, like, almost bookings and all the numbers he's got. His Rolodex is pretty incredible. And he knows a lot of people. He's been in this business a long time. Merck says to me in the morning yesterday, he goes, I think I got a number. He goes, I might have a number on Jason Bateman. And I said, wow, really? He goes, yeah, I'm going to text him. So he sends a message, right, a text message. During one of the breaks late in the show yesterday, it might have been right around this time, actually, we went to break and Merkin came running in here with a big grin on his face and he said, I think it's him. And I said, who? And he said, I think it's Bateman's cell. And I said, why? And he goes, I sent him a text. Would you come on with Carmen and Yurko at ESPN in Chicago? And the person responded, how do I know this isn't fake and how did you get this number? Like, that kind of leads you to believe it might have been a big celebrity's phone number, right?
Sure.
You know, yeah. Like, we're thinking, oh, my God, it's you're texting Jason Bateman. Convince him to come on. Merck gives him a whole thing. Look us up. Here are their Twitters. Here's our website. Here's our, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're legitimate. We're, you know, we're ESPN in Chicago. Good Karma Brands. Totally legitimate. The guy responds back. This is Dr. Jason Bateman. He's some ER doctor in California at a hospital. We told him he should still come on because it'd be interesting to talk to an ER. We're talking about the people on the front lines.
Right.
But the best part was his, he goes, probably not the lighthearted conversation you want to have right now, but happy to chat.
So he says, happy to chat. This is Dr. Jason Bateman in California. I said, Merck, we should still get him to come on. Merck asked him to come on, but I don't think he's gotten back to us. Now, he might have bigger things going on in his life because, let's face it.
He's probably working 16-hour nights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's an ER doctor. But at some point, to talk about what it's like on the front lines, we might be able to bring you an ER doctor in California named Dr. Jason C. Bateman. So it was a pretty funny story from yesterday. Jeff Blum will join us coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Years ago this coming October, Yurko, as game three went from one night into the next morning, this was Jeff Blum at the plate in Houston in the 14th inning.
Longest game in the World Series history. Blum hits it into right, down the line. It is gone. Jeff Blum, the former Astro, goes deep. And here in the 14th inning, the White Sox take a 6-5 lead. Jeff Blum gets his first at-bat of this series and only his second of the postseason.
And I was going nuts on the opposite side of the stadium, way down the line in left field towards the foul pole. Yurko and I were both in the stadium that night. I was tasked with putting together the list, 1-3, because I'm the Sox fan. Yurko's going to do the Cubs starting next week. The greatest moments of the 05 White Sox World Series run. My top two seeds were, number one, the Paul Konerko slam in game two. Number two, the Jeff Blum home run in game three. Blummer's home run got upset yesterday in the semis by A.J. Pierzynski getting to first base in game two of the ALCS. Can you believe it? So the final today, vote online, PK versus AJ on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. Jeff Blum is on the phone with us now, though, Yurko. He joins Carmen and Yurko. You were upset by your former teammate, AJ, getting to first on that drop third strike in game two of the ALCS, Blummer. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it's amazing that Doug Eddings managed to screw up my vote tally and not get me into the top two.
You know, what would have happened with instant replay, man? I'm glad as a Sox fan we'll never know, right?
I know, exactly. Yeah, there's some things, you know, you look back on your career and you go, man, if there was only instant replay, we might have been able to figure it out. But you know, that's one instance where you don't care that there was no replay at the time, because who knows what would have happened, if, especially if Joe West would have gotten on the headset,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God. So yesterday we had Paulie on, and he said he can, you know, not only remember every little thing about walking up to the plate that night, but he can remember the, like he said, he can actually feel that ball hitting his bat. Is it similar for you when you close your eyes and you think back to hitting that type of home run in such a big moment of a World Series game?
Yes, absolutely, hands down. I mean, even to this day, you know, during this time that we have so much time down, you know, I've been kind of going through some old videos up in the theater, and I come across a lot of my old hitting tapes. And, I mean, I remember at bats from, you know, my first and second year in the big leagues, and then you add something like that happened in my career at that level, and like PK said, you know, you kind of put it at the peak of what your career should be, is winning a championship, and you actually have a chance to have an impact, and you've dreamt about it, it exceeds every dream you ever had. And that's why I think it instills itself in your brain and just kind of stays there forever, because I could sit back and think about it right now and it feels like it happened yesterday.
Now, I can't remember how you entered the game. Were you already in? Did you pinch hit? How did it end up happening?
Well, it was interesting because in the top of the 13th inning, Ozzie Guillen had me and Pablo Ozuna ready for the third hitter in that inning was Tadayito Iguchi. Mm-hmm. And I think it was supposed to be Pablo Ozuna who was going to come in on a double switch, and I was going to pinch hit for the pitcher who was coming up fifth that inning. But unfortunately, we went 1-2-3, and then Ozzie Guillen, in all of his glory, kind of looked at Pablo, looked at me, and told me to go to second base, and I came in on a double switch.
Wow. How about that? What you were acquired that year at the trade deadline. I mean, so you didn't spend the full season. But obviously, you know, the Sox that year were, it was always funny. We said they were the first to 10 win. They were the first to 20. They were the first to 50. They were the first to, you know. Yeah. So everybody knew that it was a good team. What did you think when you arrived here, and what did you learn kind of about the situation in the team early on when you got here after the trade deadline?
Yeah, the whole thing was really interesting in the fact that I got traded from a first-place team to a team like you're talking about that was 15 games up. So the first instinct I had was don't screw this thing up. And what was great about when I showed up in Baltimore to meet these guys is, to a man, all 24 guys that showed up in that clubhouse individually came up to me and shook my hand and said, welcome to the club, let's go win this thing, kind of conversations. And that's when I first knew that these guys were pretty special. And then I jumped on a plane with them and flew back to Chicago. And the amount of fun that we had on that flight coming back to Chicago, I said, okay, I'm going to fit right in, and we're going to have a lot of fun winning some ball games and beating up on some people.
That quick turnaround, Jeff, and we're talking to Jeff Blum on ESPN 1000, that quick turnaround after, you know, you hit the home run, you guys actually had another run, if I'm not mistaken. Burley comes in, yep, in the bottom half, gets that last out to get the save. And, you know, you guys have the quick turnaround, but you're up 3-0 at that point. Do you remember what it was like on short rest, kind of, especially after such an emotional game, what it was like to have to, you know, be ready to go just a few hours later again?
Well, I think it was pretty evident for both teams, having played such a long game the night before and understanding that we had game four, that, you know, immediately the next day, in what felt like a day game that started around 6 or 7 o'clock at night, is, you know, it was all pitching early on, and there was only one run scored in that game. So I think the entirety of game four was summed up the night before, the exhaustion and the work that went into that game. Everybody was used on both sides, both rosters exhausted, and having Burley come in and get a win and then a save in that series was pretty special. But it was exhausting, and you don't even really think about it. And I think that's why the post-game celebration might have been a little subdued, so to speak, just because we had our fun on the field. But once we got back to the clubhouse, everybody kind of sat in their chair, grabbed a beer, and just let out a huge sigh of relief and trying to drink in what exactly just happened.
Crazy. So what do you think a 2020 baseball season is going to look like?
Man, you know what? I've got hopes and dreams that we're able to go out there and watch some baseball, because I'm excited, you know, about what's happening in the American League West. But I'm also excited, to be honest, you know, about what the White Sox did this offseason. And I really feel bad for the fans if they're not able to see that White Sox team get out there and play, because I like their energy. I like the additions that they've made, and I think they're really going to make a push in that American League Central. But, you know, I've been told not to speculate, so I'm going to tell you that I'm assuming 81 to 100 games this year.
81 to 100 games. All right. I'll take it. As long as there's something, that's what we keep saying. We just want to see baseball at some point.
You know what? I think that's what everybody's kind of feeling, too. And I think that's why when you read some of the conversations and listen to conversations that the union and Major League Baseball are having with each other, they both seem very open-minded and they both understand the opportunity to get on the field and maybe bring some normalcy back to fans who are struggling right now, not having work in their life, not having a lot of the normalcy that we talk about, and give them a chance to maybe stream something other than Friends every night and watch some really good baseball. And I think the players are very open to getting out there and getting on the field because they understand the opportunity to really give the fans something to look forward to.
So I think most people know Jeff Blum does Astros games. You've been generous with your time with us the last couple of years when we've called. But let's face it, it was a tough offseason for Houston. I would ask you this, Jeff. Through all of the previous couple of years, to what extent were you aware that something was going on, or that there were whispers that the Astros were engaged in this elaborate scheme to steal signs?
The same time you guys were. I know that it's a little hard to believe because I am so close to the action and I have access to the clubhouse. I have access to coaches. I have access to front office. But we're still not privy to the exact inner workings of what's going on in the front office. We're not privy to a lot of the information that's being exchanged between the front office and the dugout, or even between the coaching staff and the players. But we understood that they were a very good ball club and they were doing extremely good things. It just so happens that they were doing something else that was trying to enhance what they were already very good at, which was playing baseball. And you know what? It's kind of frustrating for me to watch a lot of these baseball games and hear myself, Todd Callis, providing commentary over these games. And then all of a sudden you hear the amplified noise of the trash can being hit. And I look back, and, part of me is ashamed, a little duped, just like everybody else out there, because I couldn't believe it was happening. And then eventually you hear the full story and you can't believe that they went to that extent.
You grinded your way to almost 1,400 games in the big leagues. As a former player, and I know you're close, you played two stints there, you've called their games, but how upset were you when you found all this out?
I think it was like most fans. We were upset because 2017 was such a unique year for the city of Houston, and it was also a unique year for the Houston Astros. Hurricane Harvey came through and wiped out the city, and really, it seemed like it really galvanized the team and the community together to go out and win for a cause. It gave them a lot of purpose to go out there and play hard. And they eventually go on to win the World Series, and everybody's ecstatic going, okay, this is why we went through the struggle of Hurricane Harvey. They put the city on their back, brought them a championship, and it was euphoric. And I think now when you look back, you feel a little bit jaded a little bit, or it feels a little bit tarnished because you're like, man, I don't know how much it helped them or how much it hurt them. But at the same time, it puts a stain on what actually was an incredible year for the city. And I think that's where a lot of the pain sets in for a lot of fans, is they just feel like there's a little bit of dirtiness to it in what could have been, the ultimate sacrifice in those guys going out there and winning for the city.
That's well said. Is Dusty Baker the right man to help them navigate what is, when all this does start up again, probably going to be a little bit rough on them from time to time, just psychologically, because maybe people will forget about it a little bit more considering what's happened, but they're going to be public enemy number one when they go on the road, probably.
No, I think that's true. And I think, that scenario that we keep hearing about is, maybe they'll start the season without fans in it. There's going to be nobody happier than the Houston Astros that actually happens, because you're right. I think everywhere they go, everything we were getting prepared for is a broadcast. And I think everything that they were getting prepared for underneath was, are they going to be able to continue the season with all of this booing and hatred coming their way? And now you kind of push that back a little bit and things hopefully get put in perspective with what is going on outside of baseball, and maybe tempers that a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to back down. But I do believe Dusty Baker has enough experience in his life, both on the field and off the field, to be able to provide some insight and some stability and some comfort for these guys when times do get tough moving forward. And I think Dusty is just a wonderful human being to begin with, and he could be the quality of distraction they need.
Jeff, we appreciate the time. Be well, all right?
Always great being on with you guys. Yeah, all the best to everybody in Chicago. Hang in there. We're thinking about you, and hopefully we get you guys baseball soon. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jeff. Right, we'll talk to you. Kid. There he is, Jeff Blum. Yeah, he's been real good to us these last couple of years. You know,
he has.
He's done these Astros games. So we've talked Sox and Astros with him a couple of times, and I thought that was a good, honest assessment. And, you know, even a guy that's close to the team saying it does feel a little bit dirty. That was his initial reaction, that it should have meant so much. And it does, I think, to those fans and the people of Houston. He talked about the impact of Hurricane Harvey that year when they won. You look back on it now, and it does feel a little dirty. I thought that was a good, solid, honest assessment from him. So
yeah, it feels dirty, but still a champion.
Good to hear. Well,
but still a champion.
You know what? If the Cubs did that in 2016, it wouldn't be the same for me if they did that.
Would it feel just a little dirty, but you'd still acknowledge that your team won?
It'd be tough.
I know Yurko would be all right.
No issues whatsoever.
He'd say it's a little dirty, but he'd be happy with the ring.
Life is dirty sometimes, people.
Sometimes it is. Yep. All right, crosstalk coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I still can't believe Sheryl Crow asked out Cap. I mean, can that be? I mean, it can't be, right? I mean,
of course not.
Was this Cap with hair or without hair?
It was with hair.
With hair? Because he's not he's a decent looking guy without hair. With hair, not as much. Without hair, not so bad. He looks better without hair. Cap's one of those good looking bald guys.
She may have had a Jennifer Aniston situation going on.
Jennifer Aniston situation.
Yeah, situation.
What does that mean?
No, nobody wanted to sleep with Jennifer at some point, did they?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There we go. Come on.
I don't know if anybody wanted to sleep with her. Nobody wanted to be in a relationship with her.
Well, either way.
What I don't believe is you don't think he knew it was Sheryl Crow? He claims he had no idea who she was.
I could see Cap not knowing who Sheryl Crow is.
Big as a star as Dave Kaplan is, not knowing Sheryl Crow is just part and parlance with living life.
Is it part and parcel or part and parlance?
Either way, Cap. I like mine.
Either way.
And did Yurko just suggest that Cap would be the slump buster for her?
Almost.
Okay. Because I think that's what you just said.
Cap is Sheryl Crow's slump buster.
If you can't get the hint of sarcasm in my voice, I'm getting it.
Yeah. Wow. No, I think I'm getting it. Sylvie's in here cleaning.
This is like the Jason Bateman story. It really wasn't Sheryl Crow, the singer.
Yeah, right.
It was some girl named Sheryl Crow. She was from Skokie.
It was a waitress.
It was Sheryl Crow, the phlebotomist.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
She worked at the North Shore Hilton on Gulf Row.
Skevingston, right from Skevingston.
It's not the real Sheryl Crow.
She's the concierge at the Skokie Hilton. Yeah, that's the Sheryl Crow that would love to buy David Kaplan a drink. Yeah, that one was funny. It had me laughing. Waddle and Sylvie coming up for Crosstalk in a little bit. Remember, everybody, ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So please donate if you can, and your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Now, the good news is we've flown by our goal. That's great. The new goal is $1 million. And Conagra Brands Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $100,000. So it's a wonderful thing. Again, please donate if you can. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite or text FEEDIL to 91999 and use the hashtag FEEDIL if you're going to promote it and talk about it throughout your various social media platforms. Speaking of social media, I will update the 2 polls that are up on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. So we've got the 1 seed in the final here, Paul Konerko slam against the 3 seed, AJ getting to first on the drop third strike. That was funny how Jeff Blum referenced that. About 77% of the audience going with PK slam right now, Yerk. And then the Happy April Fool's Day Twitter poll, what's the greatest trick play in sports history? Is it the Boise State Statue of Liberty, the Music City Miracle, the Philly Special, or other? The Boise State Statue of Liberty getting 51% of the vote. Yurk and I would go with the Philly Special on that one. And I'm surprised there's not more recency bias here. That's running third, actually, with just 18% of the vote. But to me, that takes some chutzpah, man, against Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl. I like that play the most.
A ton of chutzpah, kid.
Yes.
And it worked. So good for them. Good for the Philadelphia
Eagles. That's where your chutzpah pays off, right? Like Sean Payton kicking on sides to start the second half.
That Boise State game was something to behold.
It was.
York, do you remember the running back's name who scored the winning 2-point conversion? For Boise State.
The Boise State game. I mentioned earlier.
Oh, sorry. Isn't he the kid that got married?
Ian Johnson, yes. Right. Yes. He proposed to his fiance. His girlfriend was a cheerleader, and he went and he proposed to her.
They still married? What do you think? 50-50?
Well, that's what the statistics tell you.
That's what they say. That's what I'm asking.
It's a coin flip. I'm going to say yes. That seemed like too sweet a moment. They could never get separated. Merck, see if you can find that out. Are they still together or are they separated?
Yeah, why don't you find that out there, Merkin?
My kids and I watched Space Jam last night. They had never seen Space Jam. They got a kick out of it, I got to say. They thought it was pretty funny. I mean, Space Jam's like 25 years old already. You realize that?
It's about right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
94?
It was like 1995, I think, right? Because Michael Edwards retired. Remember, at the end, he comes back, and there's some footage of him in the 45 jersey.
And you got to go with who's there. Sean Bradley's there. Muggsy Bogues is there, right?
Good call, Yurko.
Do you remember all the players that were there?
Muggsy Bogues and Sean Bradley are two of them.
Was it Grandmama?
Grandmama. Larry Johnson. Yep. Yurko, I'm impressed.
Larry Johnson.
You're forgetting the two biggest stars then.
Then Barkley.
Barkley and one more. Huge, huge star from that era.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, but you're close. It was a center.
He's currently a college basketball coach, is he not?
Yep.
Yes.
Center who's a college basketball coach.
Who went to Georgetown.
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing.
How can I forget him?
Those were the five. And, man, I mean, you talk about an era where big men, I mean, it's so different now. But you think about that era with Ewing and Robinson, and Yurko mentioned Hakeem and Shaq.
Cuckoo Ka-choo.
Oh, my God, right? Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe. Think about all the great centers from Georgetown alone, Yurko. The game is so different now. I saw one of the mock drafts for the NBA have the Bulls taking the kid out of USC. I'm not going to be able to pull his name.
At 7.
You know that's their pick again?
Yes, I know.
I mean, I know, do you realize that the Bulls are picking 7th again?
Well, there's a possibility they could pick elsewhere.
Well, I know.
The projection is they pick 7.
The projection is 7. Like, how can it be? Are you kidding?
And then now watch. There won't be a lottery. They'll probably cancel the lottery, and they're going to be stuck with it.
Stuck with 7.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. That's a good point,
Sylvie. You know what scared the hell out of me is that Casey Johnson did a mailbag today and didn't rule out the fact that Jim Boylan could return.
Wow.
And if anyone's connected to that front office ownership group, it's Casey.
Yeah.
And for him to say it's not out of the realm of possibility and that he's done what they've hired him to do, which is BS.
Which is what?
Well, he certainly hasn't developed players.
What has he done? They don't have a 4-game winning streak under him, do they?
Lowry Markkanen stinks.
Carm, is the kid's name Onyeka Ankagungwe?
Close, yeah, the kid from USC. But who, you know, and I haven't seen him much. I watched some of the highlight stuff just because I wanted to familiarize myself a little bit. I mean, like, super athlete, big, but in an ever-changing NBA era, like, but, you know, maybe he does fit the more modern center. You know, you're kind of going to positionless basketball, they think he could be a good rim protector. So, I don't know, maybe super athlete it looks like. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back for Crosstalk. We're back in just 2 minutes.